Good morning, church. God is good, and all the time, praise the Lord. He deserves all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Sister Karen told me that there is an insert in your program over here. I believe you need to write like a name there that you are concerned of for salvation or probably an opportunity for that individual to rededicate his or her life to the Lord. So you could do that, but pay attention to the message because it's a powerful message that the Lord has given us this morning. Amen? I have the task of driving Bethany in school every morning. And so inside the car, when you go eastward every morning, the sun is just blazing on you. So I've tolerated for many weeks of just, you know, crunching my eyes and trying to survive the sun. But anyway, there's a sun, what you call this, sunglass container in the car, and when I poke it, there's this. I suffered for nothing, brothers and sisters. I suffered for nothing for many weeks, and there's this sunglass over there that I believe it's Tess's sunglass, and so when I wore it, I feel like a bumblebee. You know, I'm pretty much covered, and I could tolerate the sun at that point. But anyway, whenever I drop off Bethany in her school, Bethany would be saying, "Dad, please remove your sunglass." And it so happened that it's in the I have to drive in front of the police car, and I'm thinking, is there something that I don't know here? Is this illegal to wear sunglasses in the school vicinity? So there are three schools that I need to pass by to reach my workplace. So every time I'm reaching the school zone, I have to remove my sunglass. Because I was thinking, you know, maybe there's something that I don't know. Is there a law in Texas that came out that I was not able to read? But anyway, so I have kind of tolerated that a little bit too, you know. And I asked Tess this morning, is there a law in Texas that you don't need to wear your sunglasses in the school zone? And she laughed and she said, "Your daughter is just ashamed of you wearing a lady's sunglass in the school zone." So now I could wear it with confidence. But the thing is, misinformation could be so destructive to all of us. And we have elders in the church that it's amazing to be surrounded by elders that truly are in tuned in catching the heart of God for our church. And it is not an accident that we are where we are right now. The Lord has orchestrated this. And so in the month of February, the Lord led us to topics on defining love, or love defined. And number two, we have the second topic, He loves me, He loves me not. And we know that the Lord loves us. Even before we were created, He has already seen us. In Psalms 139, He saw our unformed body. He was very interested in each and every one of us. So there is no doubt that He loves us. We had this topic also on truth or consequence. And Christ is the truth and became our consequence because of the sin that we are facing, or that has condemned us. Then we have this wonderful message by Elder Eric, "The Ultimate Expression of Love," last Sunday. There is no other ultimate expression of God's love apart from Christ. Amen? And we have this word PDA, Public Display of Affection, which in our midst, of course, we have brother. I don't want to go there. Okay? So there is always an ultimate expression of God's love. So I am open. This month, the Lord has given me the honor to break another sermon series over here for the month of March, which would be the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the elders' prayer that as we draw close to the person of Jesus in Scripture, you will also draw close in an intimate walk with Him in your hearts. And so we are busy in digging what could we find in Scripture about Jesus Christ. And somehow as we dig, pray, and wrestle in the Spirit, you would also see what the Spirit of the Lord is revealing to each and every one of us. Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's love. He is the ultimate expression of God's love. And the blood of Jesus is the power and the seal of God's love. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. No other name. It's all tied up with Jesus Christ. So the efficacy of the blood of Christ has been misunderstood by many, even amongst born-again believers today. In John 1:3, it says here, God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. In other translation, the darkness has not understood it. That's why, because of this misunderstanding, the Lord Jesus Christ ended up on the cross, which was actually the plan of God for our salvation. Amen? So we thank God for that opportunity that we could be one with Him in this journey through His ultimate sacrifice for us. Our key verse would be in 1 Peter 1:18, 19, and it says here, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So it's not when you look at other religions, it's they're doing character modification through the law. You have to do this and do that and do this and do that. And even after they've done that so-called character modification, eventually they sin again and sin again and sin again. And even though if they try to perfect the law that they're trying to follow, eventually they will stumble. Because our justification is not through that, but with the precious blood of Christ. And this word redeemed, there is a powerful word too in the Greek. It is apollotrosis, which is deliverance, liberation, procured by a payment of a ransom. We were all under the curse of sin. But there was a ransom that has been paid through Christ Jesus. And He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That is where we are. When Christ shouted that word on the cross, it is finished. That is the starting point of Christianity. It is finished. That word, it is finished. Tetelestai, it is paid in full. That is where we all started. If it is paid in full, we are all set free. What a wonderful redemption, right? Through Christ Jesus our Lord. So, my topic for this morning is on the efficacy of the blood of Christ. And there are 4 points over here that I would like to invite each and every one of us to ponder on and to think about. The first point would be the difference between the blood that was shed and the blood that was sprinkled. The blood that was shed and the blood that was sprinkled. The word that word shed actually brings back also that song, the blood that Jesus shed for me. Way back in Calvary, right? The blood, it gives me strength from day to day. I have throat problems, but you get my point, right? It is a precious blood that has been shed for us. But there's a difference between the shed blood and the sprinkled blood. There's a difference. And we would like to ponder on that this morning. In Luke 22:20, it says there, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Okay? It is shed for us on the cross. So, keep that in your mind, or mark that, that word, shed. In Greek is ekeo. It is ekeo. It's gushed out, spilled, run out, pour out. So Isaiah 53:5, it says there, he was pierced for our iniquities, and the chastisement that is due us, or the punishment that is due us, was laid on him. So instead of us, it was laid on him. So it's such a powerful imagery for each and every one of us to ponder. Okay, the blood has been shed. It actually happened. It was spilled. It ran out on that cross on Calvary. However, in the Old Testament record of the instruction of God to Moses, there is another part. Another part of when it comes to reference to the blood. And if you have your Bibles with you, you could turn to Exodus 12:22. And it says here, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike or sprinkle the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning." This story is something that we are familiar with, right? During the Exodus, God instructed Moses, and Moses instructed the Israelites to strike the door with the blood from the basin. What if an Israelite would be saying, "Oh, just leave it in the basin and I'll just put it in front of the door"? Okay? The angel of death would have killed the firstborn. Right? The blood is available. It's in the basin. It's just in the front of the door. But the power and the protection of the blood is not applied to that family if they have not followed the instruction. So the blood has been shed, but it was not sprinkled. We need to be aware of this. This is a very, very important teaching when it comes to the sprinkled blood. In Hebrew, we have the word naga. And it says here, to join, to strike, to touch, apply, to reach. It has to be touching our soul, our heart. The blood should be applied in our blood. Our heart should be stricken by the blood. You see the difference? That is very important. The sprinkling of the blood actually also is captured through the story when Moses was about to go up in the mountain with the 70 elders. And this would be in record, Exodus 24, verses 1 to 11. And we'd like to invite each and every one of you to turn your Bibles there if you can. Exodus 24, verses 1 to 11. And it says here, he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at the distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him." When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in the bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. You could see again two things here. There's blood in the bowl, and there's blood that has been sprinkled in the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and led the people and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up, and so God, the God of Israel, under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these elders of the Israelites. They saw God and they ate and drank. God did not touch them because there is the blood that has been shed and there is a blood that has been sprinkled on them. Wow. This is the Old Testament record of our faith today through the New Covenant, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Could I hear an amen? Is this sinking to y'all? Is this sinking to y'all? This is very important. Hebrews 9:19-21. And this is also a very important part of our discussion this morning. Hebrews 9:19-21. And it says here, when Moses had proclaimed every commandment of the law to all the people, he took the blood of calves together with water, scarlet wool, and branches of hyssop, and sprinkled the scroll and all the people. He said, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you to keep." In the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and everything used in ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There is shedding of blood. There is also sprinkling of blood. Only through the blood can we be intimated with God. Are you sprinkled by the shed blood of Christ? That's a very important question, isn't it? Because the shed blood is available. But the question would be, are you sprinkled with the blood? The second thing over here in our meditation this morning would be on how is the blood of Christ sprinkled upon the heart? That's a very legitimate question, right? How is this blood really applied to me in the doorpost of my heart? And it says here that in Romans 3:24-25, it says here, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. The message has not changed, brothers and sisters. It's the same message that Moses had for the people, and the Spirit of the Lord is also speaking to us. It is through faith. I'm reminded of Hebrews 11. You know, 11:1, it says there, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Right? Pistio, you're firmly persuaded. That means you have faith. You're firmly persuaded that God loves you. You're firmly persuaded that he has prepared a place for you in heaven. So in verse number 6, it says there, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. Who wants to be there? So we need to have that faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for if anyone comes to him, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It is only through faith that we may be able to have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ sprinkled in our hearts. Only through faith. Amen? Now the question is legitimate also. How do I know that the blood has been applied in my heart? So the first question is, how do I apply? And that's true faith. But how do I know that the blood of Christ has really been applied in my heart already? Right? There should be an evidence. And the first thing over here, letter A, is this. There you would know if there is willingness to walk in the light, allowing the Holy Spirit to expose all darkness in you and in me. Because no one is exempt in this thing. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. The blood, only the blood could cleanse you, brother. Only the blood could change you, sister, and me. Right? And that word there purifies us from all sin. That's katharizo in Greek. And katharizo is like the waves, just the blood of Jesus, wave upon wave upon wave upon wave, hits your soul and cleanses you, so that when the time comes for you to be presented before Him, you are already clean. You are clean. Katharizo. And that's very important. We sin in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our actions, but the blood of Jesus, once you are there in communion with Him, cleanses you from all sin. That's powerful, isn't it? And when you think about it, they use the word all sin, not some sins. If it's in some sins, you are in trouble, I am in trouble, right? But all sins. Oh, the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We are blood washed, we are blood bought, we are blood sanctified by God Almighty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? I feel like shouting. If you acknowledge and call on, and you know also, the second part over here is, how do I know the blood has been applied in my heart? If you acknowledge and call on the power and authority of Christ's blood when you are under the devil's attack. No one is exempt in this thing. Oh, devil, time out muna. Time out muna. I'm tired of you, and I'm going to go to my thing. I'm tired of you, you know. No, we are in the battle, brothers and sisters, all the time. Turn on the TV, turn on the web and whatever. You have all this garbage in this world. Your classmates doing stupid things and all this. Your co-workers doing stupid things. We are in a battle all the time. And Satan is taking advantage of those fallen natures of ourselves and of our friends, and you know, we are in a battle. So if you acknowledge and call on the power and authority of Christ's blood when you are under the devil's attack, that is a sign that the blood has been applied in your heart. Ephesians 6:11-12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. As long as we are released from this body, we are in the battle. But the blood of Jesus, allows us to have the victory. How do I know the blood has been applied in my heart? Let us see. When you are secure in the cleansing, justifying power of the blood, your conscience no longer condemns you. Romans 8:1-2 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit has set us free from the law of sin and death. You don't feel that condemnation anymore because the blood is more powerful and the blood has been applied to you. Remember that scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, so He has removed our transgressions from us? How far is the east from the west? You know, it's just too far. So we are so blessed because of the blood that has been applied in our hearts. You know, could you just imagine that angel of death passing through that door during the time of the Exodus and seeing that blood? And just imagine that big sword that he had to kill the firstborn. The blood has restrained him. This powerful angel, the blood has restrained him from killing the firstborn. Amen? Are you getting this, church? Amen. Now, the efficacy of the blood of Christ, going back to that main topic, number three, what are the benefits that flow from the blood of Jesus once your heart has been sprinkled by it? Well, the blood of Jesus redeems us from sin and the power of darkness. The blood has redeemed us from from sin and the power of darkness. For He has rescued us out of the dominion of darkness and have brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Wow! We belong to God. We are not of the kingdom of darkness anymore. He breaks down, number two, He breaks down every walls. In Romans 9:25, it says, concerning the Gentiles, God says in the prophecy of Hosea, those who were not my people, I will now call my people, and I will love those whom I did not love before. Before we are separated from the kingdom of God, and God broke down that wall and make us intimate with Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. So you are a son. You're a daughter. I'm a son. And we are in relationship with Him now. Number three, it's the blood of Jesus sanctify His children. You know, when we were parents, your kid would be you would be instructing your kid, don't play in the mud. Okay, you have a new dress. And when Papa and Mama is not looking, the little one went there and played with the mud and soiled the clothing. You know, you don't leave that son or that daughter in that state. You clean him up, right? Or her up. And you dress him again. So, it's the same with God. He wants us clean. Be holy, for I am holy. The energy and the power actually is God, because only God could clean us, not ourselves. Okay? First John 1:7 again, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Number four, the blood of Jesus gives His children access to the Holy of Holies. And this is actually in the imagery when Jesus Christ shouted, "It is finished," God cut the curtain from top to bottom and say, come on all to the Holy of Holies. You are welcome. The blood made it possible for us to be in the Holy of Holies. So anytime, brothers, you're taking a shower, you could go to the Holy of Holies while you're taking a shower. How amazing is that? When you're inside your car, you know, you could go to the Holy of Holies and worshiping and praising God. How awesome is that? And I could add, and you could add more and more in that opportunity of fellowshipping with God in the Holy of Holies because of the blood. Amen? And also over here, the blood of Jesus allows us to be overcoming the devil and puts him to flight. It says here in Revelation 12:11, they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And what's the testimony? The testimony is the blood. It doesn't go far from the truth. The blood of Jesus is the testimony that we could overcome the evil one. Amen? So, our fourth point over here, the efficacy of the blood of Jesus, is what does God expect of us once we are sprinkled with the blood of Jesus? What does God expect of you? What does God expect of me once I have been sprinkled by the blood? And I believe this is the voice of the Lord over here. It says here, God expects His children to go in peace and doubt no more. Go in peace. It's settled. You're covered. You're protected by the blood. You know, go in peace. That's why the Israelites, when the blood has been applied on their door, following the story, they were joyous, and you know, they the Lord, the God of Israel, has showed up and protected them. And so, could you just imagine the joy that they had during that time, and peace? And Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Your greatest problem has been solved by the shedding and the sprinkling of the blood in your life and in my life. Amen? The second thing that the Lord expects His children to do is live for God with a thankful heart. You know, if it's possible for you to meet somebody that actually won $27 million, man, how could you hold that individual from jumping and shouting and rejoicing and, you know, and be thankful of the new change in their lives, right? You cannot. But brothers and sisters, you and I have been blessed by the shedding and the sprinkling of blood. More than that, you became a citizen of heaven. I became a citizen of heaven. We will be with God forever and forever. Amen. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Could you imagine? There's a mansion already that has your name there. And my name there. Somebody asked me, Chaplain, you know, I like pink. You think my house in heaven is pink? Maybe so. Maybe so. But your greatest problem and my greatest problem has been solved. So we among all people should be people of thanksgiving. Not wallowing like all this problem and, you know. We need to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always and again. I say, rejoice. Be thankful. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. We need to be thankful. You know, there's stories in a part of scriptures that Jesus healed 10 lepers. And out of the 10 lepers, only one came back to say thanks. And Jesus, no. He said, "What? We're not 10 healed? Why is this, this Samaritan is the only one that's coming back to say thanks?" So, we are not a ihor people. We need to be thankful in everything. And that's so powerful. And we could talk more of that. Because that's a very important item. The third thing is, God expects His children to share and testify about this wonderful gift. Amen? When you look at this, this is a PDA. Public demonstration of affection. Now, if you don't know how to do that, talk to Brother Bob. Or Tatay Istan. We need to have a public display of affection when it comes to our relationship to Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Don't be ashamed of sharing about the shed blood and the sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have saved you and saved me for all eternity. Amen? We cannot be just sitting in the corner ashamed about Him. He was not ashamed about us. Now in Acts 4, 1 to 22. There's such a powerful, powerful message over here too, in relationship to sharing and testifying about this wonderful gift of the Lord for us. And you're not the only one who has faced this. I'm not the only one who faced this. You know, every one of us faced this thing. So Acts 4, 1 to 22, it says there, "The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew for about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, 'By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called in account today for the act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, and this man stands before you healed. The stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. Then, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that this man had been with Jesus. But since they could not see them, the man who has been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and conferred together. What are we going to do with this man? They asked. Everyone in Jerusalem knows they have done such an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading further among the people, we must warn this man to spread no longer to anyone, to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak to or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than obeying God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. How could you stop that? Once you have settled in your heart that I have benefited from the shed blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus sprinkles me, and I'm going to be with him forever, who could stop you? Who could stop me in making this testimony? Not your co-worker that is lost. They don't have anything anyway. They're not covered by the blood. But you are. Nothing could stop you, brothers and sisters. Don't be ashamed of your faith. Jesus was not ashamed of his love for you, that he had allowed himself to be humiliated and pierced that way. The efficacy of the blood of Christ. The efficacy of the blood of Christ. Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, we thank you so much that you have visited us in this place today. We thank you, O Lord God, that you have seen our predicament. You have seen, O Lord God, that we are eternally lost from you. I pray, Father God, for our brothers and sisters over here, the hearing of my voice, that has not settled things with you, that the shed blood is available, and that they have not yet, by faith, allowed the blood to be sprinkled to their soul. I pray for them, Father, for that brother. I pray for that sister, O Lord God. May you beckon him in. May you beckon her in, O Lord God, to be in fellowship with you. I also pray, O Lord God, for our brothers and sisters, O Lord, that are ashamed, O Lord God, of sharing and testifying, O Lord God, about you. That they could not do their PDA, O Lord God, in their office mates, O Lord God, their schools, O Lord God, about you. Lord, remove that hesitation, O Lord, and replace it with the boldness of the Lion of Judah, O Lord, that they may be able, Lord, to testify about you, Lord, in their workplaces, in their school places, in their houses, O Lord. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. Only by the blood of Jesus. Only by the blood of Jesus. Amen.